May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this holy day on this beautiful day that God has made. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our text is the second reading from Revelation 21, where the Apostle John has this wonderful vision of the new heaven, the new earth. Let us pray as we consider that text today. Gracious Lord, this day in your house and always, richly bless the teaching, the preaching, the hearing of your word. May it be a mighty double-edged sword that penetrates our hearts and minds for the benefit of faith, understanding, repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Behold, I am making all things new. Now, that's a statement, that's a promise that should really grab our attention today. Should excite us, thrill us, because we all like new things. Who here likes something new? Yeah, we like new things. They call the younger generation, maybe my age or maybe a little younger, the throwaway generation. We just like to throw stuff away and buy something new, right? We get excited, even in this bad economy, we still buy new cars and we buy new houses. We got to show everybody our new car, our new house, have an open house, invite people over. We like new furniture, new carpet. We like new pets. We want a new hairstyle we got to show people. Many of us want a new body for the summertime to show off, right? We like new stuff. A few weeks ago, I got a new grill from Lowe's, a big fancy new grill. I haven't used it a whole lot, but I'll be honest, there are times when I simply open up the garage door and look outside just to look at my new grill. Shiny, have the cats done something to it? Make sure it's okay. That's just a grill. We like new stuff. And so this Revelation reading ought to really grab our attention, because God says He is making all things new. What's He making that is so new? The word here, new, is a great Greek word. It means really more than just new. It means better. It means something. I'm making something better, much better than what's old. It can even mean wonderful. I'm making all things wonderful. Sometimes it can even mean unusual or unexpected. He's going to make everything, and it's going to be so unusual, so unexpected, it's just going to amaze us how incredible it is, how unusual it is. That's the meaning here of new. What's He making that's so new? I look around, same old people, same old stuff in the world, same old Knoxville, same old roads and cars and houses. I'm getting older, losing more hair. Everything looks old to me. War, sickness, allergies, tired of that by now. Everything looks pretty much the same, doesn't it, to you? Three things, in summary, that God is making new. First of all, on the last day, God will make a new planet. Right now, God is making new people. And already, God has given us a new proof that it's all true. Let's talk about these things. First of all, on the last day when Jesus Christ returns, He will make a new planet. Revelation 21, the end of the Bible, the great climax of all the Bible here, Revelation 21, John says, "Then I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." We are to think back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and everything was good, marvelous, what an incredible universe He's made." But you read on in Genesis chapter 3, sin comes, and sin ruins everything. Sin ruins us. We get sick, we get old, we die. Sin ruins the plant kingdom. There are thorns and weeds and famines. Things don't grow right. Sin ruins the animal kingdom. Animals kill each other, don't they? Tear each other apart. That doesn't work right either. Sin ruins the whole universe. There's earthquakes, tornadoes, bad storms, hurricanes. Things just don't work right. It's all out of whack because of sin, the evil power of sin that corrupts everything. That's Genesis 3. Jesus then comes, dies, rises, ascends, salvation, forgiveness, and now at the end of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, we have a new heaven, a new earth, because of what Christ has done. A new planet, new plants, new animals, new peace. Everything's pristine, perfect, wonderful, just like it was supposed to be back in the beginning. We are reminded here that eternal life is not just a spiritual existence. It's not like yoga. Anybody do yoga? It looks kind of boring to me, just kind of sit there and meditate. And a lot of people think of heaven that way, just kind of sit there in the clouds and kind of meditate on God. We will meditate on God. I mean, heaven is an eternity because it takes that long to get to really know God. He is that incredible. To really know Him and be with Him takes an eternity. So there will be that spiritual existence in beauty and in perfection. But heaven is also physical. It's a physical place. A new planet. New heaven, that means sky. A new earth. No doubt, new animals. Parents, your kids ask you, are animals in heaven? Tell them yes. There are going to be animals. We're going to have an earth. We're going to have a vacant earth with no plants or animals. Just a ball here? Come on. Isaiah says the wolf will lie down with the lamb. A young child will stick his hand into the viper's nest and not worry about getting bitten. Peace and harmony. Now, we don't believe that spirits of animals don't have spirits, they don't go up to heaven. We don't believe that. But God does create animals in heaven. You can tell your kids that. It's physical. It's wonderful. Plants, adventure, pleasure. Everything is perfect again. Love, glory, it's all there. Desire, I mean, the adventure of all of it. A brand new planet to go out and investigate. Many of us on a beautiful day like to go to the Smoky Mountains and explore. Think of eternal life. Wow. All the exploration and all the pleasure and perfection. Physical. One more thing on this and I'll move on to the people that are going to be on that planet. John specifically says, and the sea was no more. Why is he mentioning the sea was no more? Doesn't necessarily mean there's not going to be oceans or seas. But the sea, back in that day, was a symbol of chaos, a symbol of evil. They believed monsters lived in the seas. Well, even today, we haven't investigated all the oceans, have we? And there are wild creatures live down the oceans, we're figuring out. Big things live down there. It's a place of monsters, of evil, of chaos, of storms, of death. You're not sure what's out there. And so in John says, there's no longer any sea. He means there's no chaos, no evil, no monsters in the sea or under your bed or in your closet, no demons, no devils, no fears, no sickness, no disease, no death, no dying. It's all perfect and good. He will make a new planet. God starts big here. Who's going to live on the planet? What's the point of having a new planet if no one lives on it? God going to have it like a beach ball to pat around? Hey, I got a world. Let me hit it around. He wants people on the planet to live with Him forever. And that's you and I. We get in the story now. John's attention goes away from the new heaven, the new earth. He'll get back to it in Revelation 22. But something grabs his attention now as he has this vision. He doesn't see all the plants and animals and all. Wow, look at all that. No, his attention is drawn to the sky. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice say, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them as their God. No distance, you see. Nothing between us and God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more death, mourning, crying, pain. The former things have passed away. His attention is grabbed by this beautiful city in the sky. What city do you have in the sky? There's no city in the sky, but John sees a city coming down from heaven. It actually has to come down from heaven for John to see it. The holy new city of Jerusalem. And the city is so beautiful. It is so marvelous, so beautiful, so holy, that it's like a bride prepared for her husband. It's such a beautiful city. What is this new Jerusalem, this bride? It's the church. It's you and I. It's people. These are two very common descriptions of the church in the Bible. We are the new holy Jerusalem. Jerusalem, biblically, is always the place where God lives. Where does God live on earth? In Jerusalem. Because he lives there in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant. Jerusalem is where God dwells. Where does God live on earth? So where does God live now? God lives with the church. We are his temple, aren't we? The temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells with us. He is with us. We are the new Jerusalem. We're the new city of God scattered across all the world. And we are his bride, the bride of Christ. Two very common images of the church. People John sees here. What strikes me, what really stands out to me, is that John sees this in the sky coming down out of heaven from God. God here really wants to show us our status as the church, because we forget it. By sight, by experience, we are just poor, humble, lowly people. We suffer. We're persecuted. We age. We get sick. Look at our prayer list. We die. We're ridiculed. We're put down. By sight, by experience, we're just sitting here in a pew in Knoxville, Tennessee on a Sunday morning. Ho-hum. Been here before. But by faith in Jesus, by our baptism, we're not a bunch of just a humble, lowly sinners here on this earth. By faith in Christ, by being baptized, we are a pure, holy city. It's up in the sky. We're a bride in the sky with her husband. Already we're in heaven, you see. Who here is in heaven? Get your hand up if you're baptized. You're in heaven already by faith. Not by experience. By experience, we're here. By faith, we're already in the heavenly realms with Jesus. Because faith connects us to Jesus. And where is Jesus? He is in heaven, and so we're with him. And by the way, he's here too, because he's everywhere. And we'll eat his body and drink his blood here too, because heaven comes down and touches earth. Our status. We're not way down here, poor, lowly, terrible people. No, by status, by baptism, we are way up in the sky, in the heavens. Holy, forgiven, righteous, pure. The bride of Christ. You don't have to climb the ladder of success. You can't get any more successful than being a Christian. You reached it by the grace of God. So take the pressure off. I'm a child of God. I've reached the pinnacle. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You're up there with Jesus. You can't get any higher. It's pure grace given you when you're baptized. The pressure's off. Enjoy life. Serve your God. You have nothing to prove to him. The real VIPs on this earth are not LeBron James or who else, Bill Gates or President Obama. They're piddly. They're people way down here if they're not Christians. They're down here. We are way above them. We conquer all. We're in the sky already. We win. We conquer. God is comforting his church that's suffering in John's day. You're a holy, pure city to me. You're a bride to me. Remember that. I read a list of the prettiest towns in America. You see this list? Some of the prettiest towns in America. Aspen, Colorado. Lake Placid, New York. Burlington, Vermont. Deadwood, South Dakota. How can a place called Deadwood be pretty? Do you know where this is? Is it pretty? Now, it's a fake list, Pat. No towns from Tennessee or Indiana on this list. It can't be exhausted. I'll tell you the prettiest town in the world. It's sitting right here in church. For we are holy, covered in the righteousness of Jesus. We are pure, forgiven of our sins. We are the pure, holy, pretty, beautiful city of God, his bride. New planet, new people. He's already made our hearts new in baptism. Faith is newness in here. You may be 95 years old, you have a new heart. You're new every day because of forgiveness. New every day because you eat the body and blood of Jesus. We're renewed every day in the heart, no matter our bodies. We have a new heart. Soon we'll have a new body in shining glory. And then we have a new proof, finally, that it's all true. God knows we will doubt. It all sounds too good to be true. So he says, write this down. John, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. the Lord knows we'll doubt. It all sounds like pie in the sky, wishful thinking. Come on, a new planet, a new earth, a new body. I'm a new Jerusalem. I'm a bride. I don't feel like it. I don't look like it. Write this down. It's true. Believe it. And what's the proof? It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The proof that we will be in heaven, the proof that we are holy and righteous, is Jesus. He's the tangible, real proof. God's given us a son. His son lived, died. His son said, it is done at the cross. It's finished. Salvation is done. His son rose again, ascended. He is the living proof that God loves us, God forgives us, God will take us to heaven. You ever doubt that? Look to Jesus. He's the proof. He's the Alpha. He is our baptism, in other words. He's our beginning. He was there in our baptism when everything began for us. He gave us faith, washed us. And he's the Omega, the end. He'll be there in our resurrection. He'll raise us from the grave and give us heaven. He doesn't stop in the middle. He's the Omega, the end, too. He'll get us there. He's proof of it. Because he died and rose, he'll raise us too. You know, I was listening to the radio this week. What are Tennessee fans still complaining about? You know what you're still grumbling about? Heard it on the radio. Lane Kiffin. Were you ever going to get over this poor guy? People calling up, I hope he fails at USC. I hope they go on probation. You know, he's a blankety blank, blankety blank. All over the radio. Why? Because he left in the middle. He began, but he didn't end. We're upset. He made a promise, didn't keep it. Welcome to life. People begin things, but they don't always end them. They make promises, but they don't always keep them. The Lord is different. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He'll get us there. We celebrated Anne's birthday, well, really the whole month. She has a birth month, by the way. And men, when your wife has a birthday, is it enough to say happy birthday? Does that get you by for the day? Not a chance. How about a card? Honey, I got you a card. Is that enough? No. You're getting closer. That's not enough. How about flowers? Is that enough? You're getting closer to what she really wants. What's she really want? Dinner, yes. I want a gift. Where's the present? Where's the gift? That shows me. That's proof that you care, that you love, that you remember my birthday. Not just words in a card. I want a gift. God made a lot of promises in the Old Testament. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you heaven. Lots of promises. Lots of cards, if you will. Where's the proof, God? God gave us a gift. His beloved Son, who gave his life, who rose again, whose body and blood we receive as a gift this day, tangible, physical, his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, proof. God is making all things new. He will make a new planet. Even now, he's making us new people. And he's given us a new proof it's all true, his beloved Son. Praise be to God who makes all things new, including you and I. Amen. Let's